This is the second hikmah of Ibn Atallah Iskandaratana. So, you should not put yourself in the company of that person whose spiritual state does not direct you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whose words do not guide you to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not keep the company of that person whose heart condition is not such that it guides you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor do his words guide you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a principle that if there's a person whose heart doesn't help you and his words don't help you, then why do you want to keep in that person's sohbah, in that person's company? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala said in Quran al-Kareem, "Kunu ma sadiqeen," that you should keep your company with the sadiqeen, with the truthful ones. And then Hadith Sayyidina Rasulullah said that don't be taking the company of someone except of a believer. Why? Because there will be barakah in their iman. The barakah of their iman will come into your heart. Then in Hadith Sayyidina Rasulullah said, Al-Mar'u ala deen khalilihi, that a person will be on the deen of the person who they take as their intimate companion. Therefore you should be very careful and select carefully whom you wish to take as your khalil, who they join their heart with. Means that when you keep the company of someone, you are essentially joining your heart with their heart. Therefore, you should choose whose company you keep carefully. Then Tabi'in as-Sahaba, that who Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ, whose company should be adopt? The Prophet ﷺ said that person, you should keep the company of that person who is going to remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That looking at them makes you remember Allah. And then second, that person whose words increase you in beneficial knowledge. And third, that his actions attract you also to do the good deeds that lead towards Akhirah, and you have raghbah towards Akhirah. These are three signs that Sayyidina Rasulullah mentioned, that the person who has these three features, you should keep their company. That you look at their face, you remember Allah Ta'ala, that their words increase you in beneficial knowledge, and third, that when you look at their actions, their deeds, it makes you feel more inclined towards Akhirah. Such a person, you should keep their company. Then another day, Sayyidina Rasulullah said, that shall I not tell you who are those who are the best amongst you? They are the ones that when you gaze upon them, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, they used to tell each other that come, let us sit in suhbah, let us sit in company, so that this one moment of ours will be spent in a condition of iman. Mullah Al-Qari Al-Naqshbandi Ramtanai said in Mirkat Sharaf Mishkat that different people have different temperaments and different personalities, and they will all be pulling the other personality in their direction. So habits are contagious, and when you associate with someone, you will be pulled in the direction of their personality and their habits. Then another sheikh said that if somebody speaks, he should be somebody who speaks, he captures your heart, and when he's silent, his silence is such that his hal, his spiritual state, pulls you towards Allah al-Ghayyub, means pulls you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knower of the unseen. Then another wali said that you should sit in the company of that person, that your ghaflat gets changed into zikr, and your ragbat of the dunya gets changed to zuhud in the dunya. and you are feel like doing tawbah from your sins, and you get changed from jahala to marifa, from ignorance to intimate knowledge, you should keep the company of such a person. Sheikh Abul Abbas al-Mursi was the Sheikh of the Shadli Salsala, and he was also the Sheikh of Ibn Atta'ala al-Iskandari, compiler of al-Hikam. He said there are four signs that you should be in a Sheikh. Number one, you should have Zokan Sarihun. You should have a clear, manifest spiritual acumen. He should have learned the nisbat from his own Sheikh. Ilmun Sahihun, and he must have sound and correct knowledge. Himmatun Aliyah means he should have a lot of himma, a lot of strength, a lot of taqwa, a lot of mujahidah. And fourth, he should have good ahwal, he should have good feelings in their heart. And he should have istiqamah, he should be steadfast and firm on deen. Ibn Arabi Ramtai said that there are three signs that there should be in a sheikh. That his deen should be like the deen of the prophets. His mind should be like that of the kings. And his planning should be that of the healers. That every good healer can diagnose and prescribe the right medicine for a person, just like that the sheikh should have the same attribute, that he can diagnose and prescribe the corrective course of action for every spiritual illness. Our Mashaykh in Naqshband said that there are six signs of a sheikh kamil. The first is that he must have the knowledge of tazkiyatun nafs. So it, yes, it is wonderful if he has all of knowledge, Islamic knowledge, but at the very least he must know about the nafs. So he knows what are the treacheries of the nafs, deceptions of the nafs, diseases of the nafs, illnesses of the nafs, because he is the one who is going to cure our nafs, so he must know about the nafs. Second, the Sheikh Kamil, he should have ijazah from a Sheikh Kamil. Third, he must stay away from major sins. Fourth, that the ulama must be inclined towards him, because ordinary people can be impressed by anyone. Even if you go and just play a drum, they will come and make a gathering around you. So ordinary people's being fans is not a sign of anything. What we have to see are the people of ilm, are the ulama due to that sheikh. And the murids, are the murids also following sharia? So these are because the perfection of the teacher is seen in the students. So do the students have rujoo ila Allah, inabat ila Allah, taqwa, siddiq? Are they living a life like that? Or are they living a life of ghaflat? And the sixth thing is about keeping the company of the sheikh, the person is attracted towards akhirah. Shaykh Abul Hasan al-Shalih used to say that don't keep the company of anyone except such a person who's by being in the company of him, his company helps you in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And we've seen that normally the people, when they keep the company of the Mashaykh, they start doing more obedience. They feel remorse and regret and shame over their sins. They make tawbah. They make plan to spend their life on taqwa and virtue. Khwaja Abul Sakhr Kanilam used to say, that a person who is blind, a good blind person is the one who is blind at looking at non-mahram. The good deaf one is the one who never hears anything in Sharia. And the good one who is mute, is whose his tongue is mute from speaking anything against the Sharia. So he used to say that keep the company of the blind, deaf and the dumb. So Sa'ali Naqshbandi Naftali has Khwaja Yusuf Hamdani Naftali. Whenever he used to go into any city, he used to make dua to Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, let me be in the company of whoever are the virtuous and pious people of this settlement. As Khwaja Bahauddin Naqshband Bukhari Naftali used to say that our salsala, our tariq, And we don't remain in seclusion, but we remain in suhbah. Because if you spend time in khalwa, you are in danger. So in our silsila, it's more important to be in sohbat of shaykh as opposed to going in your own khalwa, your own 40 days, 4 months, jilla, where you alone do zikr. We don't go into the jungles, but rather we keep spend time in the sohbat of our mashayikh. And that benefit that you won't be able to get in the jungle, you will be able to get in the company of the shaykh. Our Mashaykh said there are 3 things that open the heart of a person. The first is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, zikrullah, with kasrat. Second, liqa awliya, to meet the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And third is the words of the wise. These are those people whose sleeping is even better than worship, and this is their company that makes us truly Muslim. And if you are sitting in presence of others, still their heart is alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba Ikram, they were called this by the word Sahaba. Why? Because there is no greater nisbat, no greater way to describe them. They haven't been called as the Muttaqeen or the Zahid. Obviously they were people of Taqwa, people of Zuhud. But the greatest feature of them was their Sohbah of Sohbat Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there was a wali, he used to always talk about the greatness of Sahaba. So somebody asked him that all the time in your talks, you're always talking about the greatness of Sahaba. So he said, yes. Do you think that, why don't you try to become a Sahaba? He says, I could never become a Sahaba. He said, then you can, no matter what you do, ever become a Sahaba. So that means that this is some unique, special thing that they had. So nobody on the basis of their a'mal can become a sahabi. They could spend 24 hours of their whole life in sajda. They could spend their whole life in sajda. They will never become a sahabi. But if they had 1 second glance in a state of iman on the face of the Prophet ﷺ, is enough to make a person a sahabi. In Persian he said,
Al Rabi Guzar Merde Hal Shao Ish Merde Tamile Pamal Shao Had Kitabo Sad Varak Dar Narkun Jan Dil Ra Jan Be Dil Darkun.
That you should give up your heart entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep your company in the company of the pious. Sayyid Ali Khawas rahmatullah used to say, that there's nothing that can bring a person as close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being in the company of an arif, the person who has the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person keeps the company of an arif, that will bring him closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second part of this,
فأراد الإحسان منك صحبتك إلى من هو أسوأ حالا منك.
That sometimes you may be sinning, however, that you are keeping the company of bad people, so you will appear good to be yourself because you will compare yourself to them. For example, you keep the company of somebody who doesn't pray, their nafs will say, oh, you're very pious, look at this person, doesn't even pray. So now you will actually be fond of yourself even though you're a sinner. Actually, you yourself were a sinner. But because you compared yourself relatively to the other person's sins and you had less sin than them, you perceive that you had less sin than them, so you will think of yourself fondly. So in reality you are a sinner, but by keeping the company of a worse sinner, you view yourself to be pious. So that's why Mashaq said the three types of people who you should stay away from their company in Sohbah. Number one is that person who is Jabir and Ghafil, means a person who compulses, forces other people to do things, and they're always in a state of ghafla. Second, that such those Quran reciters who show off, and third, those Sufis who are jahil, who are ignorant. Because an ignorant Sufi will go astray unless he has the light of knowledge. And they will end up in different bid'at and innovations against Sharia. So whatever love they have, love will always end up making a person go towards innovation and knowledge. But knowledge will keep a person protected from innovation. A person just has knowledge, the knowledge will lead a person to arrogance, but love will give humility to control that arrogance. That's why a person has to have both knowledge and love. The true wali's sign is that he will love ulama, and the true alim's sign is that he will love the awliya. Yahya ibn Muaz, رضي الله عنه, he was once giving a lecture to the ulama of his time, and that was one of the greatest times of Islamic history, close to the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And he used to say, Ya Masha ulama, that O gathering of ulama,
وَمَرَاكِبُكُمْ قَارُونِيَّةِ وَأَطْعِمْتُكُمْ فِرْعَوْنِيَّةِ وَغَلَائِمُكُمْ جَالُوتِيَّةِ وَمَوَاسِمُكُمْ جَاهِلِيَّةِ وَقَدْ سُيِّرْتُمْ مَذَاهِبَكُمْ الشَّيْطَانِيَّةِ فَأَيْنَ الْمِلَّةُ الْمُحَمَّدِيَّةِ.
Basically, he scolded the ulama and told them that you're resembling Fir'aun and Jalut and all of these things and Shaitan. Where is the spirit and way and pattern of the Prophet? Where is it disappeared from you? So the awliya used to scold the ulama for their islah, for their correction. Qad Yusuf Hamdani used to say that for a salik to reach the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are five purities that he must have. And just like when you pray, you have to do wudu to get physically pure. And there are two types of impurity. If you're a greater impurity, you have to make ghusl. You have to make ghusl. Either way, you will have to pray in a state of purity. You will need to be in a state of purity from the. You must be free from the major impurity, ghusl, and you have to be free from the minor impurity, wuzu. So he said that there are five purities that you have to have. First is purity of the eye. All of us fail right there on the first step. Our eye is full of lustful gaze. Our eye is looking left and right and some here and there. Sometimes at the screen. Sometimes even with the eyes closed we are looking. Yes, even when the eyes closed the person is fantasizing in their tasawwur, in their imagination. So we don't even have the first step, which is purity of the eyes. Second is purity of the ear. We shouldn't listen to any ghibat, backbiting. We should listen to anything against Sharia. In this day and age, music, songs, all of these type of crazy things. The ear should be pure of all of this. Third is purity of the tongue. that the tongue should also be pure. It should never hurt anyone, should never backbite anyone, should never slander anyone, and nor should the tongue ever utter a lie. And leaving lies is so critical and essential. As long as we keep lying, the tongue will be impure. So the tongue must also be pure. Fourth is that the stomach should be pure. What does it mean that the food entering the stomach should be of halal, wholesome, pure, undoubtful earning and food? If he eats even doubtful food or from doubtful income, he will lose the nur if there is ibadah. And sometimes one morsel makes the person's heart spiritually devastated. Abdullah Dehlvi, he was the one of the great Khulafa of Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Abdullah, and he said that once somebody invited me to a gathering meal, and there their wealth was doubtful, not even haram, but doubtful, that the guest doesn't know, and the guest assumes that whatever I'm being served is from halal wealth, but it wasn't halal, it was doubtful. Halal mixed with haram. So it says that after I had that food, all of my kifiyat were lost. And I made dua to Allah Ta'ala, I made istighfar, still my kifiyat were not returned. Then I went to my sheikh, and I opened everything to my sheikh. Just like a daughter goes in front of her mom and opens up everything, her heart, the maid should also open up everything in front of their sheikh. Simply tell their sheikh honestly. She said, "This is Mirza Mazhar Jana Jama." He said, "Okay, what is done is done. Now you'll have to come to me every day and I will give you tawajjuh, so that your darkness on your heart is removed." So he said, my sheikh's tawajjuh was such that if he gave tawajjuh on an elephant, even the elephant would be shaken. So I used to go to my sheikh, and every day he would give me tawajjuh. For 40 days he had to give me tawajjuh, and then my darkness of the heart was removed and my original state was restored. Just by having one doubtful meal for 40 days, I needed my sheikh's tawajjuh, and I had to sit personally in front of my sheikh and receive his one-to-one tawajjuh. In us, our stomach is like a trash can. Whatever it is that we put inside our stomach, it appears as if we have made our heart a trash can. And we look at her and we feel love for her. We like a second one, we look at a third one, we look at a thin one, we look at a fat one. Anything we see, we like to be attracted to it. It's like making our heart a trash can. Then when it comes to food, we have no care when we're eating. We want to eat this, we're willing to eat that. Today we want to go to Pizza Hut. It was actually Pizza Hut. It means you should actually stay away. In Urdu, Pizza Hut means stay away. So it's not Pizza Hut, it's Pizza Hut. You should have stayed away from there. Who knows whether it's doubtful what the ingredients are. So keeping sohba, Allah Ta'ala has even mentioned a dog. And we generally in our deen, a dog is viewed as a lowly animal. But this dog found mention in Quran. Why? Because he used to walk behind the awliya of his time. He kept the sohba of the awliya of his time, the Ashabi Kahf. And so if a dog even with the sohba of the awliya of the time can gain and garner mention in Quran, so then imagine if we are insan, if we keep the sohba of the awliya, what would we become pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we learned in hadith, that Allah ta'ala takes pride in front of the people who worship Allah ta'ala sincerely in front of his angels. Allama Iqbal, he mentioned a strange poem.
Nigah
سخن دل نواز جان پرسوز یہی ہے رخت سفر میر کارواں کے لیے. یہ تین نشانیوں میں نے بتایا.
In that poetry he mentioned, that the real Imam of your heart and of your life is the one who is going to cut your heart off from everything in the world, both what is outside in the world that you can see and all the thinkings and imaginings you have in your mind. You have to sever yourself from both dunyas, the dunya outside and the dunya inside. That is your true friend who can cut you off from your outer dunya and your inner dunya. And then he will take the mirror of death and show it to you and show you your reality. And then tell him that you should prepare for death, because death is the meeting that you will have with your beloved. And so that he makes your life more difficult for you, because that life which is spent preparing for death is more difficult than the life which is spent in ease and seeking pleasure. But that is your true friend and companion who does all this to you. And then he also alerts you and makes you realize that how much time you wasted, that you wasted your whole life, or even you wasted your good deeds because you had pride over them, or you did them to show off to others. So that is your friend and companion who shows this to you, who makes you feel the pain of your loss, and then incites you to make up for that loss by doing virtuous deeds. So that is the person who is in reality your true friend and companion. And he will take you, and just like a, he will polish your nafs and erase all your pride until you become a shining and glistening like a newly forged sword. And your true companion is the one who, even though he knows your faults, he remains your friend. That is your true partner. That even though they know your faults, they still remain your friend. And who is really like that with you is Allah Ta'ala. Who is the one who really knows all your faults and still is your friend? That's Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He knows all your faults, all your sins, and still He has love for you. Otherwise, if a person knew all your faults and sins, he would never remain your friend. Your real friend is the one, a real friend is the one who sticks with you even though he knows your faults. So who could this be more true about than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows each and every one of our sins and faults and remains our true friend? The different type of suhbah. One is Ashab al-Maslaha, to keep the company of the people of Maslaha. These are those people who only keep company of Mashaikh and Awliya for some worldly benefit, for some need. Or it may even be some need for their work of deen or need for the dunya. Second are Ashab al-Suluk, that know they are the Murideen and they want to learn Suluk, and therefore they come and spend time in their Shaykh. Third is Sohbat al-Mashaykh, that they keep the Sohbat of Mashaykh, and we should view that as the great felicity and joy of life. And that person who comes with a sincere intention in the company of Mashaykh, he will get a lot, and he will get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the level of his sincerity. There were three people who were traveling on a journey, and they introduced each other. They met one another and they all realized that they're all going to the same place. They're all going to go meet Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ram Tandai. So they each asked one another that, why are you going? Oh, one of them said that I've heard that he's a wali of Allah Ta'ala. I want to go check. Is he really a wali of Allah? So it means he was going to test. So there is some reading like that also. That all the time they are checking the Shaykh, and they spend their whole life assessing critically the Shaykh, examining the Shaykh. So he was going with this reason, that is this person a wali or not? The second said that I have a big problem in my life, and I heard that he is somebody whose du'as Allah Ta'ala accepts, so I'm going to ask him to make du'a for my big problem, so hopefully Allah Ta'ala will take me out of this big problem. And third person said that I have also heard his wali of Allah Ta'ala, and I'm going to spend time in his company so that I can get connected to my Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So all three of them made the journey, they all went, and they all stayed for a few days. Now what happened? The one who said that I want to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ultimately he got nisbat and khilafat from Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Ram Tandai. The one who said that I have a big problem and I want Shaykh to make dua for me, Shaykh made dua for him and Allah ta'ala took him out of his big problem. And the one who went for that reason, I want to go check and test if he's a wali, it comes that he lost his iman before he died and died as an unbeliever. So whatever niyat intention a person takes, Allah Ta'ala will treat them accordingly. That is why, however much we can have love and favorable opinion for Shaykh, we will get more of our Shaykh, we will get more faiz from our Shaykh. Mujaddid al-Fasani wrote a strange thing. He said that for me and my Shaykh, Hazrat Khwaja Baqi Billah Abdullah, I had so much husnizan from my own Shaykh that I thought that before me, if anybody has ever had a Kamal Shaykh, it can only be Abu Bakr Siddiq who had the Prophet, and after that, next it's me, I've had the most perfect Shaykh in Hazrat Khwaja Baqi Billah Ram Tandai. So I said that this is because of my husni zan, that's why Allah Ta'ala made me Mujaddid al-Fasani, because I had so much love for my Shaykh. Then
لِشَيْءٍ يَعُودُ مِنْكَ إِلَيْهِ کہ تیرا عمدہ ہم نشین وہ ہے
that the best companion for you is the one who is
ذاتی نفع کی امید پر تیرے ساتھ
the one who is in one who seeks your company for your sake of your good, not the one who wants your company for his own benefit. So there's only one, everybody has some ulterior motive. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is most true about that. Allah ta'ala has no ulterior motive for us. And there's hadith Qudsi, Allah ta'ala said that everyone wants you for their own self, for some selfish reason. It is only me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who wants you for myself. I have no interest, no benefit I will get from you. But without any benefit, without any purpose, I want you. So that's why we should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally, absolutely. Make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our companion. How? By making zikr of Allah ta'ala. That person who does the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they become the companion of Allah ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala said in Hadith Qudsi, Ana jalisum man dhakarani, I am the companion of that person who is making zikr of me. So what we learned from tonight is that we should keep the sohbat of the awliyaullah, and we should keep the sohbat of Allah Ta'ala, as we mentioned, by making zikr. As much time as a person makes the zikr, they are in the sohbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So either be in the sohbat of awliya Allah or be in the sohbat of Allah. Either be in sohbat or doing zikr. Allah ta'ala told Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam that, O Musa alayhi salam, that do you like this? That would you like it that I would live with you in your house? The Musa Islam was lover of Allah Ta'ala. He got so happy and he fell in sajda. And he said, Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how is it that you could live with me? How would that happen that you would live with me in my house? So Allah Ta'ala said, Anajiri Summa Lakari, I am the companion and I dwell in the same place as the person who does zikr of me. So all the time we spend in zikr, we are actually the jaleez of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Farsi they call them ba khuda, that they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they get the mayyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when such a person gazes on us, their gaze is a heal for us and their words is like a medicine and cure for us. For cure and for the illnesses, spiritual illnesses of the heart. One wali he said, it is of Khaja Baki Bilal Abtale, whoever cast a glance on his face, his heart would become opened up. And as he says, and I remember that when my mother passed away, I was very sad. So my sister said that there is one class fellow who has come to meet, and she was my classmate in first grade. Now I never met her again since then, but she came wearing parda and she reminded me of something, that yes, we were together in elementary school and then we went our separate ways. I went to the all girls school, you went to the all boys school. And I got married in this neighborhood. But because I did parda, burqa, I've never spoken to you ever since elementary school. We've never even said salam to each other. But I've come to you on the occasion of your death of your mother. And so as you said, why? And then she said that because I know you would be very sad that your mother passed away, so obviously you'd be very sad. But I am also very sad. The Hazri said that she's a girl from the neighborhood, saying that she's also very sad and she's suffered great loss. And the Hazri said, why? And she said that I am a worldly woman, but whenever I would get very distant from Allah Ta'ala, I would just come to your house and I would just look at the face of your mother and my heart would be revived with iman again. So this girl came and told Hazri this, that your mom was such that I would just look at her face and my heart would be revived with iman. And now I don't know, there is no other woman like that in the neighborhood who I can go and just look at her and my heart gets attracted towards deen again. So I've suffered a great loss also. So now think that if one girl gets such an effect by looking at the face of a pious woman, then what will be the effect if you look at a Sahib Nisbat, a Shaykh, a Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So he said that whoever looked at the face of Khwaja Bayazid Bustami, his heart was opened. So the person who heard this said that how is this possible? Abu Jahl looked at the heart of the face of the Prophet, his heart wasn't open to iman. And you're saying this about your Shaykh, that Abu Yazid Bustami, anybody who looks at his face. So the person said, no, Abu Jahl never looked at the face of the Prophet. He said, what do you mean he never looked? And he said, no, he looked at him as Muhammad bin Abdullah. If even once he looked at him as Muhammad Rasulullah, he would have also gotten iman. He never looked at him by accepting he was a prophet. Where Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that they look at the Prophet, but they're not really looking. So they look towards him, but they're not really seeing, they're not really perceiving him. So Abu Jahl never saw Nur al-Nubuwat. He never perceived the Nur of the Prophethood. If he had done that, he would have accepted Hidayah instantly. So that person who looks at a Shaykh viewing them to be Waliullah, they will get their heart opened for iman. The Prophet said in hadith that indeed to Allah Ta'ala there are such people that whoever gazes and glances at them, they will get such a success that they will never ever be shaki afterward. They will get such a sa'ada that they can never be shaki afterwards. And they will get such a treasure, such a spiritual blessing, that they will never be spiritually degraded and abased afterward. So indeed, Allah Ta'ala has such people that anybody who looks at them, and they will never be disgraced. Then there's another hadith narrated in Kanzul Amal, and we love this hadith so much that we feel like praying two rakats, nafil, salah, in thanks for this hadith. Sayyidina Rasulullah said that anybody who loves a group of people, any jamaat, any group, due to their a'mal, due to their actions, they like their amal, they like their words, that they were good people. And because of that, he loves that gathering and loves those people. So whomsoever loves a group due to their a'mal, then he will be raised in the Day of Judgment as one of that group, just because he has love for that group. Whomsoever loved any group, any gathering, any person due to their a'mal, because he liked the way they had good deeds, he liked their way of life, their life of piety. So because of that love, al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba, then the person, so the Prophet said that on the Day of Judgment, a person will be with that person whom he loves. So whomsoever loves a group due to their amal, they will be raised on the Day of Judgment as a member of that group. And his hisab will also be done with their hisab. His hisab will be like their hisab. Even if he didn't do the same actions that they did. So,
जिसने किसी कौम से मोहब्बत की उनके आमाल की वजह से खुश रहा यौमल कियामत की जुमरते वो कयामत के दिन.
So whomsoever loved any group due to their actions, he will be raised with them as a member of that group on the Day of Judgment. His hisab will be like their hisab. What does it mean that our mashayikh, they were the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of that we love our mashayikh. So we love our mashayikh in Naqshband. So because of our love for them, whatever person who dies on this love, remains firm and steadfast on this love their whole life, such that he dies on this love, he will be raised amongst the group of the khandan, the family of Naqshband, on the Day of Judgment. And then their way, their Allah Ta'ala will take their hisab gently. Allah Ta'ala will take this person's hisab gently, even if he didn't do the same acts they did. And he will, maybe he himself didn't pray all night like they did. Maybe he only prayed two rakats. Maybe he wasn't even able to get up. But he had love for them. So because of his love for them, he will be raised as if he had the same amal as them. So this hadith gives us so much hope and so much We are so blessed that in this day and age, anyone who is connected to any silsila is so blessed in this such a day and age that we live in. And this is the only thing that they have, and there is nothing more valuable to them than the love they have for their mashayikh. And we should do hifazat of this love. If this love, if you die on this love, then you will get the shade of Allah Ta'ala's throne on the Day of Judgment. It will become easier to go to Jannah. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for us to preserve this love, to safeguard this love, and to remain on this love. Close your eyes. For our kind and generous Rabb, we are your weak and needy servants. Forgive us for our sins, overlook our faults, conceal our shortcomings. Ya Rabbi Kareem, purify our gaze, purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fill our hearts with love for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, put and ignite the flame of love for you in our breast. Ya Rabbi Kareem, from the core of our being, make us do zikr of you. From the depth of our ruh, we want to do zikr of you. From every single ounce of our being, we want to love you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, be gentle with us, be soft with us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, increase us in our love for you. Grant us marifat and intimate knowledge of you. Grant us wasal and qurb and nearness with you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us amongst your true lovers and seekers. And let us spend our whole life with your true lovers and seekers. And accept our fast, accept our tarawih, accept our recitation of Quran. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our sitting in these gatherings, accept our listening in these gatherings, accept this amal of ittikaf. Ya Rabbi Kareem, your seekers have come from far away, leaving their homes and families. Ya Rabbi Kareem, they've come with great hopes and great expectations from you. And they hope that if we come here, that our sins will be forgiven. If we come here, there'll be gatherings of the pious. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are the one who fulfilled the hopes, who fulfilled the expectations. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fulfill all of our hopes. Grant us even more than we ever hoped for. Ya Rabbi Kareem, use your mercy, Ya Allah. We accept that we are terrible sinners. But our whole life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we loved your pious lovers. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept the love we have for them and raise us amongst them on the Day of Judgment. Make us one of them on the Day of Judgment. Get us, grant us a place at their feet on the Day of Judgment. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our du'as. Rabbana taqabbal minna.
سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.